Breaking news, the ACLJ files a critical injunction motion to block enforcement of the church singing ban in California. We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A busy show for you today on the broadcast because, as I said in the tease to the broadcast, the ACLJ has filed, and it happened on Friday evening, a preliminary injunction motion against California Governor Gavin Newsom, the California Health Commissioner, and two different county health commissioners because of the ban California put in place, remember, specifically on churches or places of worship, a ban on singing. And these are in counties in California where the churches are still allowed to meet in person. So this actually comes out June 1st in this, what looks like more like it would be like a guideline for our Facebook and Periscope audience, just to remind you. You know, it looked like a guideline that coming out, like a recommendation. The state can recommend whatever you want, whatever they want, whether you like it or not. But then you start looking at the language on church, and this was a guideline for places of worship. So it's only targeted at places of worship, not anywhere else that has their business allowed to open. If your restaurant's allowed to open, you can have singing and chanting, by the way, which is also banned, which affects Judaism and other Christian denominations and other faiths group too, Islam, other, the list goes on. But it said this in the order. So it came out and it was called the COVID-19 Industry Guidance for Places of Worship and Providers of Religious Services and Cultural Ceremonies from the California Department of Public Health, from the state, signed off on by the governor and his appointee, the California Commissioner of Health. And it said this on just a few pages in, places of worship, and this was the key language, must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities. And they already had the limits in place about how many people could be in there, which was very small. It was like 25% of capacity or 100, whatever is less. That didn't matter even if you had like a 5,000-person seating church. You know, it didn't matter if you had a giant, giant facility or not. You could only have 100 people or 25%, whatever was less. So for a lot of these churches, it would be the 100 would be the number because 25% could still be, you know, 1,000 plus or 500 plus. But we filed in court. Now we have taken the next step, which is to get a preliminary injunction. So we're going to explain to you with Ed White from the ACLJ what this means for those churches, how this works, so you understand again how we filed our complaint. So we filed the complaint, and then how you move on from filing the complaint to then actually going forward and going forward with a preliminary injunction and what that would mean for these churches in California. We're also going to update you on the School Choice Now Act and the number of cases that have come in from parents across the country. We're now at 46 states plus D.C. Over 1,000 parents have contacted us for assistance because they face significant hardships because of their school's plan, whether that was done at the state level or school board level. Again, over 1,000 of those. That was just as of Friday morning, by the way. We haven't seen the update because we have to go through all the ones that come in on the website, the contacts that come in. So over 1,000. Out of those 1,000, 800 have already been working with attorneys. The other 200 just got a question back from attorneys just to look for some more information to see how we could help. Now, we're doing all of this work, all of these cases. And then we've got our government affairs effort on the School Choice Now Act. We'll talk about with Than Bennett just on the next segment. Because of your support for the ACLJ, it's the final week of our matching challenge. The month of July is the matching challenge month. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ, it's why we can represent all these families at absolutely no cost. It's why we can represent those churches against the singing ban at no cost. It's why how we can even bring you this broadcast. Donate online right now. Be part of the matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, over 262,000 of you, over 260 of you, over 250,000 people, folks, 250,000 people have signed the petition at aclj.org to stop the singing ban. You can sign that again. That's at no cost. You're just helping us with our grassroots efforts at aclj.org. And if you don't think that's effective, in California, even in these very liberal states with liberal governors, liberal councils and school boards and things like that, when people petition at these kind of numbers, we've seen the change happen before, much quicker than if you do have to go to court. But sometimes you have to go to court. And we know out there, there's 250,000 people who took the time to stand with those churches at aclj.org. We also know we have our donors and supporters out there who have donated to support this work so we can represent these clients at no cost to them and have attorneys across the country ready to go into court, not just in the initial complaint, but now in the preliminary injunction that was filed on the 24th. And I want to bring in one of those attorneys as well in just a minute, Ed White. But let me encourage you, folks, we do all this work at no cost to those churches, and it sets precedents. We do all of this work for the over 1,000 parents that have contacted us because of the school issues they're facing in COVID. At no cost, they get legal assistance, and many of them will end up having legal representation at no cost because of your support for the ACLJ. We can talk about all these issues. We have this radio broadcast and our TV broadcast because of your support for the ACLJ. July is a matching challenge month. And what that means is that whatever you're able to donate at aclj.org, we have donors who say, I will match that donation. So you've got to take that initial step. And I'm only talking to you if you're financially able to right now, because I know there are a lot of people facing hardships right now because of COVID and the effect it's had on business and work. But if you are in the position where you're able to donate, this is a great time to do it because you're doubling the impact of your donation. A $20 donation, that's all you're charged at aclj.org, it then gets matched. What does that mean? You are the reason why we received actually $40, but from your $20 donation. Even your $5 donation is like a $10. Your $100 donation is $200. Your $50 becomes $100. I could go on and on, but this is a critical month for us at the ACLJ. Donate online at aclj.org today. Just takes a couple of minutes. It's safe and secure. And it gets those resources right to us so we can continue to do all this work at no cost to the clients we represent. I want to go right to Ed Wyatt, a senior counsel with the ACLJ. Ed was critically involved in, has been critically involved from the start in the cases in California representing the singing ban that the state enacted, and was also heavily involved in filing of the preliminary injunction. So, Ed, it's great to have you on the broadcast. Let me first ask you, Ed, just to explain to people, you know, we filed the initial complaint, and I'm sure they're wondering, what is the preliminary injunction? You know, for our audience out there, I know that a lot of them know. They listen to this broadcast a lot. They could probably give us the legal definition of a preliminary injunction. But for everybody else tuning in, just so they understand, you know, we're in federal court. What does it mean now that we filed this?
Well, preliminary injunction is asking the judge to rule in effect on the case earlier rather than later. So what we're asking the judge here is to allow singing in churches in California, in the counties in which we're suing, now, and then as the case proceeds, that injunction is in place until the end of the case. So a judge can enter a preliminary injunction and then 6 months later, whenever, change his or her mind. But in the interim, because there are constitutional rights at issue and the right to worship is protected by the First Amendment, people should have that right and be able to exercise that right while the case proceeds. So we're asking for the judge to rule on this now rather than later.
You know, Ed, I'm showing people who are watching on Facebook and Periscope the significance of a preliminary injunction. And, I mean, it's a significant filing in court. How does it speed up that process for these churches so people understand who are out there who have been, you know, we had 260,000 people on our petition. I mean, it's more than a quarter of a million people signed that petition at aclj.org. So they care about this issue. They have questions about this issue. And if you do, call us at 1-800-684-3110. But how does this potentially speed up that process? Like, what would it look like next for the judge and for our attorneys?
Okay. So if we did not file this motion, how the case would proceed is we file the complaint, we serve it. Several weeks go by before the state would have to respond to that. And then you'd have this long discovery process, and then maybe a year from now, we'd be asking the judge to make a ruling. Here, by filing this motion for a preliminary injunction, we ask the court to expedite it, which means speed it up, is the court will be considering this matter in the next couple of weeks or a few weeks rather than a year from now. So that's why it's important to the churches. So with a preliminary injunction, if we win, we're able to allow these churches to sing as part of their indoor worship service. If we lose, a preliminary injunction is one of the few rulings a trial court makes during a case that we can immediately appeal to the Court of Appeal to get a ruling on. So it's a very significant matter, both for the clients to be able to exercise their constitutional rights, and then procedurally, to be able to go to the Court of Appeals sooner rather than later. So hopefully we can get an answer in a matter of weeks rather than waiting months.
So that's what I was about to ask you. So a matter of weeks instead of months. When would the judge take their next initial step on this, Ed?
The state and the county will be filing their response in about a week. We then get to file a reply, and then hopefully the judge will be considering the matter early in mid-August. So in a matter of, what would that be, 2 or so weeks from now. Yeah. But that's up to the judge. The judge can easily say, I'm not going to hear this for a matter of additional weeks because of the schedule of court. So we've put forth a schedule that is faster than normal. It's up to the judge now to accept that schedule. But as all these matters turn out, it's always up to the judge how the judge wants the case to proceed.
So then I want to take this call, actually, Ed, because I think it's important to point out, because people do, you know, people are experiencing such different things across the country. It's 1-800-684-3110. If you have questions about this, if you have questions about the schools and you think that you might need our legal help, you give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. If you have questions about that federal proposed legislation by Lamar Alexander, the senator, and Senator Tim Scott, the School Choice Now Act, basically a pandemic voucher that could be part of the next stimulus, call us, 1-800-684-3110. But let's go to Fern in Florida on line 2. Fern, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Fern.
Yes, I've been thinking about this for some time. What's happening in California is also affecting the rest of the country. Are you finding that churches are being complacent, or do you find them searching for your assistance? And I know, as a as a Christian and one who supports the churches, how can I, along with the donation, make a difference in helping the cause, the cause, and getting the churches back opened again and, and functioning? I mean, when you've got everything else open except the churches, it's very obvious what's going on.
Yeah, well, that's the situation here, Fern. I mean, what's interesting is that, in most of California, and I know for a lot of our California listeners, they're in counties, Ed, that are completely shut down. It's not just churches that can't have in-person things. It is everything. So there's no issue with singing because it's not happening inside, because there's nothing happening inside. But these counties happen to be, now it's just down to actually one of these counties. Ed, interesting to point out, this was between the time of our actual filing and of the complaint, and now the filing of the preliminary injunction on Friday of last week. One of the counties, of the three churches we represent, one of those churches is in a county that has been shut down totally.
Correct. And that unfortunately, for Fern, too, in a response or question, is because of the coronavirus, matters are changing almost by the hour. And so you may have something where a church is opened and they're allowed to do things because everything else is open, and all of a sudden everything is shut down. What we're addressing here in California, in this particular county, is other businesses are opened, and, for example, indoor protesting, you can scream and chant or whatever, but you just can't do it in a church. So a situation, what we're facing here, is there's different treatment for churches. But with regard to what you can do, is a lot of this, besides the legal, it's political, is to speak to, send letters to your governor, to your counties, whoever is in charge of regulating, and pointing out that churches should be treated the same as barbershops, as casinos, as restaurants. And people have a First Amendment right to worship as they see fit.
Folks, I want to thank Ed White for joining us. He's been working really hard on that, just even on that preliminary injunction, getting that drafted ready to go. And we got it filed Friday. It was great info for our audience. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. My dad will be joining us when we come back as well. Remember, support our work. It's why we can do all this. It's why we have all these attorneys we can bring on the air all the time. Because of your support for the ACLJ, this is a matching challenge month, the final 5 days. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. My dad, Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel at the ACLJ, is traveling but joining us by phone right now. I want to talk to everybody and update them. And, Dad, we just talked to Ed White about filing not just our complaint, which we filed on July 15th, but now on Friday afternoon after we were on the air, filing the preliminary injunction against Governor Newsom in California, their head of their health department there in California, the county health commissioners as well, and went through that because for our, you know, we have over 262,000 people who have signed that petition to ACLJ.org. Dad, people care about this across the country. They know how dangerous of a precedent this would set if the California government gets away with telling people how they can worship when they go to their worship services.
No, you're absolutely right. And in that whole process, of course, the Supreme Court issued another horrible ruling, in my view, on Friday, where they basically said Caesar's Palace can open for poker and gambling, but a church can't open for singing and worship services. The interesting aspect of that was there was a very strong dissent by Gorsuch, Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh. Unfortunately, John Roberts joined the majority of the court in allowing this ridiculous restriction to apply, and they actually are allowing a gambling casino to who, you know, if they can open up and operate separately, they should have the right to do that. I'm not making a judgment on that, but I am saying that you can't, it's amazing that Caesar's Palace is protected, as Justice Gorsuch said, but not Calvary Chapel. And this case probably is going to end up at the Supreme Court too, Jordan, and who knows what they're going to decide, but you have to bring them. You can't let this stuff go. It's wrong to let it go. It sends the wrong signal. Even if you're not successful, you have to fight. And on this particular one, it's such a ridiculous restriction that you would think they would get it right, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
I think you could get up there very quickly.
You know, what's interesting, Dad, is that California has not yet come back and made this easy for everyone and said, you know what, we should, that language where we said place of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities, that's what they wrote in their guidelines, so that's why we filed, because that wasn't like a guideline, that wasn't like a recommendation, it says must therefore discontinue, sounds very legal. California hasn't come back, Dad, and said we didn't intend that to mean that would be like enforceable, that was supposed to be a recommendation, and if you still are allowed to be open in California, you follow all the other rules, you can sing if you want, we don't think it's a good idea, but you can if you want to. They could have come back and done that, but it seems like because of our preliminary injunction discussions with the lawyers for the state, that is not their position, at least as of now.
It is not their position as of now. Now, that could change when there's a filing, but I think that points to the problem. So on these restrictions on cherished free speech, I mean, the core of free liberty, I mean, gambling is not a protected activity under the Constitution. It's allowed under, it's not a prohibited activity, but it's not a specifically protected activity. Well, religious speech, freedom of a religion is particularly and specifically protected under the Constitution. So this double standard that's going on, I think you just got to keep bringing these cases. And maybe one of them, somebody will say, one of these justices that's denying these churches rights is going to say, you know what, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't allow this to happen. That's what you got to hope. So that's why you keep bringing them. And that's exactly what we're doing on that and so many other issues right now. We're very, very busy.
Because, Dan, I was going to bring up, too, the issue, too, where we're representing so many of these parents. I know that, like, for instance, that wild situation in Arizona where the school is – change their name, but will open on the same date school was supposed to start. And most of those, it's August 4th. And if you want to send your kid, you've got to pay $200 a week now on top of the taxpayer dollars you spend. And so that could be up to $800 a month. And, you know, the cases like that where we're going to be likely taking action this week.
Way,
I just spoke
per,
to, you know, per, you've got to fight per, these battles.
That's for a child, by the way. Yeah, and that's child. For a child. I mean, think about this for a moment. Just think about what you just said. The school's not going to reopen, but they are going to reopen for, like, daycare. And because they're reopening daycare, you continue to pay your taxpayer dollars for all of this. And you know what we're going to do? we're going to charge you to send your kid to the same school with no instruction. That's what they've said.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you got to fight those and there's other, you know, 1,000+ that have come in on various issues, whether it's independent education programs that students have, special needs, economic issues. Like you said, Dad, they're worth the fight because also it, sometimes even these, again, like you said, you can never predict wins or losses, especially with this COVID issue and the way the Supreme Court has been responding so far. But you can also make sure that even if you don't get a total victory, you get a limited loss where these states are not handed over the power to do this willy-nilly whenever. So you got to keep the government in check, and you can do that even if you don't win.
That's exactly, you're 100% correct. That's exactly why you fight.
Dad, I want to play this from Steve Hilton because I think it's important for everybody to hear. You know, I've been on his show a couple of times. It's really how we started getting all these folks. Take a listen if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope. This was last night. His producer said, we just want the info. We'll have you on when you take your next actual legal filing, but we want to update everybody and make sure people still know how to contact you. Take a listen to this or watch it.
Parents all across America are rising up in this revolution to smash the government school monopoly. Last week, Jordan Sekulow told us that hundreds of families had contacted the ACLJ about suing school closure districts. Here's that map as of Friday. Over 1,000 people from 46 states and DC. If you want to join in, go to aclj.org/help.
I mean, I'm thinking about, I remember during the impeachment times, you'd get a lot of times where yep. a news channel would put you up with a quote. But for ACLJ purposes, just for our audience out there, especially during this matching challenge and their final 5 days and one of the most important months of the year for the ACLJ, the fact that a Fox News show like that, and that airs 3 times on Sunday, so all across the country and multiple times, is taking time to give people out our website address, put together graphics so you can see the map like that, and encourage people is something, again, these are kind of new things for the ACLJ. And for our supporters out there, it's why we're able to do all of this and take this to the next level because of them.
Well, that's exactly right. And whether it's Fox News or our own broadcast that millions of people listening to right now, that's paid for by the support of people that joined the ACLJ. And as we've been saying throughout this campaign, and we will continue to say, if you're able, and only if you're able, because we know a lot of people are really struggling, but if you're able, we would appreciate your support, especially these months when we have matching challenges, which means we've set aside through other donors dollars that are available to be matched so that you're effectively, your gift is doubled, which is obviously great news. But I want to encourage people to do it and to stand with us. But again, if you're able and you're seeing what it does, you know, I don't know how many of these thousand cases we have. Most of them will not go to court. Some of them will just be conversations. Others will be litigation. Others will be school board negotiations. But people have to be, I think the school boards have to be flexible right now to understand what's going on.
I'm telling you, folks, it looks like we're going to be taking the first action. Of course, we're representing these clients. So we're doing a ton of work getting ready to take that action. But I think we're going to be taking that first action that you'll see from us, whether it's before a school board or court this week. Specific to those Arizona situation we just discussed, to support the work of the ACLJ. Donate online at aclj.org. It is a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate, you double the impact of your donation. Donate online at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The final segment of this broadcast, we're going to be joined by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Elise is a good friend of mine, a good friend of my wife's. My wife and Elise worked together for a long time. And, of course, she's been a great member of Congress, a strong defender of President Trump. She serves on that House Intel Committee, chaired by Adam Schiff during that whole House impeachment. I mean, I think she did become very well known to the political world and a lot of conservatives throughout the country. She's currently serving in her third term in the House of Representatives. She will be joining us live in the final segment of the broadcast. So she represents New York's 21st Congressional District. If you got questions for her, I would start getting those calls in now and let our call screener know. It's a question for Congresswoman Stefanik. That's it, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So she'll be joining us in the final segment of the broadcast. I want to go right to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. And Than, I want to get an update on the School Choice Now Act, basically that pandemic voucher we talked about, the stimulus in general. I know people are on pins and needles out there about what's going to happen economically. Let people know.
Yeah, Jordan, and those two issues really go hand in hand this week. As you know, Leader McConnell is about to unveil today the framework for his proposed next round of stimulus. Obviously, it's got to be something that clears the House. But, Jordan, as it relates to school choice and the School Choice Now Act, it is expected that his outline is going to contain $105 billion for school aid. Now, Jordan, there's a question on how that will be formulated, and there are some reports that his proposal will say that at least 10% of that $105 billion, so a little more than $10 billion, will be eligible for private schools. But, Jordan, the School Choice Now Act, as many of our listeners will know, that's the legislation put forward by Chairman Alexander and Senator Scott, would take that framework and go a little bit further, Jordan, and we think go further in very important ways. It would say that that $10 billion, roughly, and that number may rise, but roughly $10 billion would actually go to scholarship-granting entities, and then those scholarships could be granted directly to students, through their parents, of course, to be used in any myriad of ways, Jordan. So it could be public, private, charter, homeschool, maybe some kind of hybrid option, but those scholarship granting entities would have the flexibility to do it. And Jordan, it's very important that these two things are happening at the same time, because the goal for the stimulus package is actually to get it done this week, because at the end of this week, the unemployment insurance from the federal side expires. Now, it may take longer than that, Jordan. There may be a stopgap unemployment insurance passed this week, and it may take another week or so for the stimulus to pass. We just don't know yet. But our hope would be that that School Choice Now Act language gets incorporated into the stimulus bill and actually can be passed into law very, very soon. I think really it's essential, Jordan, for parents of students who are planning for the fall to know that this help from the federal government is coming. So we're calling on the Senate and the House, quite frankly, to adopt that language inside Senator Scott and Chairman Alexander's legislation.
Folks, I think it's so important that we get behind these efforts. If you got questions about that, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, about the stimulus, about the School Choice Now Act and what happens next, because we've got to get, again, a lot of work going on at the federal level now, too. And even those who don't believe, you know, that the federal government should be involved in education are getting behind the School Choice Act. They're saying, hey, if we're going to send the money out to these to schools, we should be sending it to parents instead during this pandemic, whether a state has a voucher program or not, so that they could figure out how to best educate their child because of schools making so many different decisions and bizarre decisions. Or in these worst-case scenarios, we've gotten too many of these requests, honestly. And I say that not because we wouldn't take on 1,000 more, but so many with students with disabilities, students in really tough economic situations, and they're not being offered anything that's going to help their families. We're representing them at the ACLJ. We're doing all this work because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. Donate online today at aclj.org. It is a matching challenge month, and this is the most important week of the month of July for the ACLJ, because your donation is effectively doubled. Donate online safely, securely. It's how we do all this work and represent all of our clients at no cost. ACLJ.org. Donate right now.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And the next segment will be joined live by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Elise is someone who, again, I've known for a long time. My wife, Anna, worked with on political campaigns before Elise became a candidate herself. She was the youngest Republican woman ever elected to the U.S. House in history. And she was a strong defender of President Trump during the impeachment. In a minute, we'll play for you, just as a reminder, how Adam Schiff tried to go after Elise, and she really let him have it. And that is the moment she kind of became known to, I'd say, that conservative world of Fox News viewers and radio listeners, supporters of groups like the ACLJ. And she's in a battle in New York. I've endorsed Elise. If you follow me on social media, you know that. But I wanted to have her on to let her talk about so many of the issues, because not only is she running, I mean, she's dealing with all the issues that we're talking about right now, like the stimulus issues, the education issues, the COVID issues, all of that and more. So if you've got questions for her, and it maybe if you live in New York 21 or just have questions for a member of Congress, give us a call. Let us know. It's a question for Elise, but remember, you have to wait to the next segment until she's on. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you have a question about whether or not you should go to aclj.org/help because you might need representation from the ACLJ, I encourage you to go to give us a call right now. We can answer your question for you. 1-800-684-3110. Than, quickly, because I'm going to tease a little bit about what we're going to get into on tomorrow's broadcast as well, but let people know, again, where the stimulus stands and the School Choice Now Act stands, which would provide vouchers across the country, regardless if your state has it, because of the school closures and what's going on with COVID. But also, you know, PPP, which has kept a lot of businesses afloat and people on payrolls. Where does all of that stand right now?
Yeah, Jordan, if people are following the news, they're going to mainly hear updates about the underlying stimulus package, which Leader McConnell is rolling out his proposal. He's been working on it with the White House. He's going to roll that out today, Jordan. Of course, both the Senate and the House have to pass different versions. But in Leader McConnell's bill, it's expected that there will be a couple of key pillars. First of all, it looks like there will be new funds for the Paycheck Protection Program, extending that. It looks like there very likely will be another round of direct payments, probably something similar to what Americans saw the last time around, which was roughly $1,200 per person up to an annual income of $75,000. It looks like there might be some liability for about 5 years inside the package. That'll be controversial. I don't think that'll be in the House bill, Jordan. And it does look like there will be some tweaking of the unemployment insurance inside Leader McConnell's legislation. So that is sort of the piece, Jordan, that people will probably see on the news, because that's the top line negotiation that's happening between President Trump, mainly Leader McConnell, and then also Speaker Pelosi, trying to get something done before the end of the month, Friday, July 31st, when the unemployment insurance expires. Jordan, how the school Choice Now Act piece fits into that is that what Senator Scott and Chairman Alexander want to do is take that $105 billion that is expected to be in Leader McConnell's package, and they want to say that 10% of that needs to be given to scholarship-granting entities and essentially flow directly to students. And Jordan, I want our listeners to think about it in this way. Why would you give those dollars to schools that are not opening? Wouldn't it be much more effective to get those federal dollars flowing directly to parents and students to use in a creative way that fits this pandemic? Jordan, if this is a coronavirus stimulus package, you need to spend all of the money, including the education dollars, in a way that addresses the coronavirus pandemic. Senator Scott's legislation would be a way to do that. We want to see it incorporated into the stimulus. This would be the week to make it happen.
So it would be this week, Than. I mean, that's how key it would be. I mean, like, how long would it take House and the Senate to actually get this done and to see if the School Choice Now Act is incorporated? So will we know, like, will the School Choice Act now be incorporated? We'll know this week if it will. And how long would the actual stimulus, so that things start getting out to employers for PPP, so that they can keep their employees on the payroll and the stimulus checks and things like that?
Yeah, a couple of different things there, Jordan. This week is the week of urgency for the School Choice Now Act, because if it's going to be enacted this year and if the dollars in the stimulus package are going to be applied in this way, it's going to have to be in the underlying framework, and that is being negotiated right now. Jordan, I am not super optimistic that they're going to be able to reach a deal by Friday, which is when the unemployment insurance expires. So I think if they can't, and that's not a done deal yet, maybe they could, but if they can't, I would expect to see a short-term extension of just that piece of the legislation, and then a return to negotiation on the other pieces. So as far as how long it would take to get it implemented, Jordan, as long as most of the framework follows on the CARES Act, which, as proposed by Leader McConnell, most of it would. It would just be a replenishing of the PPP. It would be another round of direct payment, very similar that was passed in the previous form. Basically, Jordan, the benefits would track along with it what has already been authorized. Therefore, implementation would not take very long. So, you know, if approved 1 week and signed into law by President Trump, I think you would start seeing implementation the very next week.
All right. So, folks, again, very important. It could be, you know, the next week. I mean, but the School Choice Now Act, again, people can sign that petition at aclj.org. And Than, that is really a way that we could show that grassroots support that exists for this, even in states. I mean, it's important. I want you, Than, to point out, and then we'll tease what we're going to talk about tomorrow before we're joined by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik as well, but that this would happen for your state and for your parents in those states, even in a state that has no voucher program at all.
Absolutely, Jordan, because what this would do, this would not create a federal voucher. It's just take a portion of the $105 billion targeted for education, would take 10% of that, so about $10 billion, and give it to states. But states would be required, Jordan, to give it to entities that grant scholarships, and they would have to meet certain criteria. So it would run very much like a voucher program, but it would not have federal strings on it. It would pass through the states and go to the private entities. So even if a state does not have a voucher program, these dollars would flow to it. And just two quick points, Jordan, both on the public advocacy piece, on the two issues that you've been talking about today. 65,000 ACLJ members have signed the petition calling for school choice. And I can tell you that is making a difference in telling legislators that they want this to happen, that parents want a choice, especially during the pandemic, for the education choices for their children. And just quickly, on the other issue that you've been talking about as well, more than 250,000 people signing that petition, standing with California churches. And I want to really emphasize this very strongly, Jordan, because I think sometimes there's a tendency to say, well, it's happening out in California. I don't live in California. I live in a red state. state. That is not happening here. Jordan, it is essential that California be sent a very firm message that this will not be tolerated and that the rest of the nation is watching. That will keep it from spreading, Jordan. So I just want people to really resist the temptation to think that that is on the other side of the country. It's happening in a deep blue state. It does not affect me or where I live. That is not true, Jordan. If the precedent is allowed to fall in a way that is not satisfactory, you will see this spread. And if you don't address it at its root, it will be in a locality, it will be in a jurisdiction near you very soon.
Tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to get into this because we had a FOIA win as well, directly related to, of course, the unmasking issue. So we're going to get into that more tomorrow. But I did want to let people know what else we'll be getting into. And that's, you know, Fox News has got this in their headline. This source says that an FBI agent actually used a 2016 briefing on election interference to the Trump campaign as a cover to question the Trump team. So in a newly, and it's, this comes from a declassified document, so a real document, not just a source, obtained by Fox, it reveals that the FBI agent who delivered the defensive briefing to the Trump campaign on election interference in August of 2016, quote, actively listened for certain topics, using it as a cover to monitor then-candidate Trump and Michael Flynn, a source familiar with the document said. The document goes on. It was dated August 30th, 2016. Guess where it was filed? This was the document to let the Trump campaign know, you know, just about the election interference, which is normal that they would usually get updates on intelligence when you were going through your transition. So they get that update, but the document gets filed under Crossfire Hurricane, not under briefing to campaign, but under Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI's code name for its investigation into whether the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians to influence the 2016 election, which we know was totally bogus. It goes on. The source told Fox News that the agent who put together this briefing and then the note that was declassified and released was also tasked with running the FBI's investigation into Mike Flynn, Crossfire Razor. We'll be getting into that. Oh, and that subsource has been identified. Who was that big subsource for Christopher Steele? It was a guy named Igor, who worked at the Brookings Institute and was great friends with Fiona Hill. Remember when she testified before the House Intel Committee against President Trump and his decisions? Remember that on the Ukraine that led to impeachment? Yeah. He was a Brookings Institute guy, Igor. We'll get into that and our win on a FOIA case on tomorrow's show. Now, coming up next, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. You want to join us for that? We'll take your calls as well.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're joined by a very special guest, a good friend of mine, and someone I know many of you came to know, if not before, in her earlier years as a member of Congress and the youngest Republican woman ever elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. You certainly came to know her if you listen to this broadcast or watch this broadcast on television or Facebook or Periscope. You came to know her during the impeachment investigations in the House of Representatives because she serves on Chairman Schiff's committee in the minority side, on the Republican side, on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. I've known Congresswoman Elise Stefanik for a long time. My wife, Anna, has worked with Elise before she decided to become a public servant herself. And she is joining us now on the broadcast. She represents New York's 21st Congressional District. Elise, it's great to have you on, Congresswoman.
Hi, I'm so excited to join your show, Jordan.
Let me just first tell people, too, you know, we have listeners all across New York, in your district, but also all across the country. And I know you're also doing a lot of help. You're helping a lot of other candidates as well. If you want to find out more about Elise, you go to EliseForCongress.com. That's EliseForCongress.com. And you can find out more about her. I tweeted it out as well. And I'll do that right after we're on the broadcast so you can get more information there. But Elise, I want to talk first about, we just played for people who watch our show on Facebook and Periscope, because instead of commercial breaks, we get to play videos for them. And we played that exchange you had with Adam Schiff, if you want to call it an exchange. You've been a true fighter for President Trump, but also for members of Congress on transparency. And I think, you know, then became a member of the president's House defense team during the impeachment trial in the Senate, where we saw each other there as well. But tell people about dealing with that, because fighting back against Adam Schiff, you did it, and you really did it in a way that got a lot of attention from conservatives across the country.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for playing those clips for your listeners all across the country. I feel that not only did I stand up in support of the president, but I stood up for the American people and the Constitution. The abusive power that I have witnessed by Adam Schiff is unlike anything else that I've ever witnessed in my time in public service, and certainly in my time of Congress. The illegal leaks coming out of the committee, the manipulation of the media with this false narrative of Russian collusion, which we know is false as more and more information comes out about the abuse of the FISA process, last week about the absolute abuse, which is incredibly, incredibly disturbing, where the FBI used the intelligence briefing as an opportunity to gather information against the Trump campaign. There needs to be consequences. And what your listeners heard was the fact that Adam Schiff opened up this faulty impeachment investigation based upon his coordination with a whistleblower, and yet we still have yet to hear from the whistleblower about how that coordination occurred. So this was about standing up for the Constitution, and I think the reason that my questions of witnesses really caught the American people's attention is because it was the first time they were hearing their answers, because the first month was in closed-door deposition in the basement, done outside of the view of the American people. And I believe transparency is a hallmark of who we are as a country, and Adam Schiff has just abused his position of power, and we continue to see that.
You know, and you're going to continue to fight that if he unfortunately remained chairman of that committee. I know you continue to fight that. You also serve on the Armed Services Committee, the Education and Labor Committee, as well as the House and the Intel Committee. But on the Committee and Education and Labor, on that committee, you serve on the Subcommittee on Higher Education, Workforce Development, Civil Rights, and Human Services. I know, Elise, this is a top issue. As we're talking to Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, you go to EliseForCongress.com. That's EliseForCongress.com. If you follow me on Twitter, you can follow Elise. I just tweeted out her Twitter handle, so you can follow her. But a lot of families are worried about education. I know that's more of a state issue, but that Congress is looking at taking federal action as well.
It is. It's an issue for every family, and not just higher education, but K through 12 education. And certainly families in my district and families across the country, they want certainty and they want to make sure that their kids are continuing to learn. In my district, I know that families and school superintendents and teachers are putting forth proposals as to how we can get kids safely back to school this fall. Republicans have put forth significant funding to ensure that our school districts have the resources they need to do that. $105 billion of direct aid to school districts. And my concern of what we've seen, given the shutdown and the learning from home, is not every student has equal opportunity in the sense that there's a huge digital divide in this country. So if you are in a rural environment or rural school district, in some cases in my district, over 50% of the students do not have access to rural broadband. So that impedes their ability to do the online studying. It also has significantly hurt our students with special needs and disabilities, where it's been very difficult to have this remote learning. So we have to make sure that we're serving every single student, and that means safely getting our students, teachers, and staff back to school. It's going to be different, but we absolutely need to make sure that we're educating every kid across this country.
Folks, I think you can already tell why Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is a rising star in the Republican Party, in the House of Representatives, and in politics. Because of all these issues, she's fighting for you. She's fighting for us. She's fighting with us, and she's not afraid to take those battles. And she's in New York in the 21st Congressional District. Elise, let me ask you about, I know we've been talking about your work in Congress, but you're also, because you're a House member, you're running for re-election every 2 years. One of those elections is coming up this November, and you've got an opponent who's been pretty interesting. And hey, on this broadcast, we're on stations here. We're not going to tell you who to vote for. I will tell you I've endorsed Elise. That's been on my social media. Everyone knows that. And her campaign's put that out. And I don't think many of you would be voting for her opponent, but if her opponent wanted to come on the broadcast, love to have him on and ask some questions, but at least tell people about who you're running against.
Well, this is a real choice, this election in my district, and I beat my opponent last time by the largest margin of any Republican in the Northeast, so we are very proud of that. But it's really a choice between results and the ability to work with the president versus far-left radical resistance. My opponent supports a gun ban. She was caught on tape saying that, and she was willing to lie to voters to get elected. But voters are smart. They saw through it. She also voted numerous times to increase taxes when she served at the county level, and of course, her home county overwhelmingly voted for me because they remembered her record of raising taxes and fiscal irresponsibility. She's on record supporting a government takeover of health care, supporting Medicare for all. She's trying to run away from that position now. So the choice is very clear, and she also is the number one pro-impeachment Democrat candidate in the entire country. Because of my strong role on the House Intelligence Committee, millions poured into her campaign, mainly from Hollywood D-listers like Rosie O'Donnell and Chelsea Handler, who are not representative of the voters in my district. We have very different values. So I'm running on my record of results, ability to work with the president, versus my opponent, who is just a far-left parrot of Nancy Pelosi.
Folks, I want you, if you're interested because of what you just heard, one, if you're in New York 21, you know what I think you should do. I've made the endorsement. I've endorsed Elise for Congress, New York's 21st Congressional District, but I won't tell you how to vote on this broadcast, but I think you just heard why and how you should vote. And at least people can go to it's EliseForCongress.com. They can find out about your campaign. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Talk to us about the issues in Congress, Elise, but also about your campaign. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
Folks, EliseForCongress.com and as always, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.